If you have your Bibles today and you're invited to open your Bibles, 2 Samuel chapter 13. All right. And I must confess, this morning in getting ready and getting leaving, I arrived and realized I left my famous black satchel in Calhoun that had my Bible and my prayer journal in it, okay? So I'll be reading from a slightly different version than usual. And I've just been kicking this around all week long. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read just a few verses this morning because due to the subject matter, I want to be able to put some of this in my own wordage. No. So I don't want you to think I'm being lazy on you and just read through three verses and call it quits, okay? But I just want to give you enough verses to see where we're going with this. So this is 2 Samuel chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Now David's son Absalom had a beautiful sister named Tamar, and Amnon, her half-brother, fell desperately in love with her. Amnon became so obsessed with Tamar that he became ill. She was a virgin, and Amnon thought he could never have her. But Amnon had a very crafty friend, his cousin Jonadab. He was a son of David's brother, Shimeah. One day, Jonadab said to Amnon, "What's the trouble? Why should the son of a king look so dejected morning after morning?" So Amnon told him, "I am in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." "Well," Jonadab said, "I'll tell you what to do. Go back to bed and pretend you are ill. When your father comes to see you, ask him to let Tamar come prepare some food for you. Tell him you'll feel better as she prepares it as you watch and feeds you with her own hands." So Amnon lay down, pretending to be sick. And when the king came to see him, Amnon asked him, "Please let my sister Tamar come and cook my favorite dish as I watch. Then I can eat it from her own hands." So David agreed and sent Tamar to Amnon's house to prepare some food for him. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay. And I must confess that there are some scriptures we read that are joyful and they light our hearts, like the idea of David bringing the tabernacle up to Jerusalem and rejoicing, celebrating. And then there are others that are very sad to read. And one of the reasons I think that we can trust our Bibles is because they do not attempt to whitewash the folks they write about. They're sometimes very honest, really honest about their shortcomings. And so this morning I want to talk to you about David and his children. David and his children. So it starts off, talks about how he has a son named Absalom. And Absalom has a beautiful sister named Tamar. And we know from their passages that Absalom is a good-looking guy, okay? But we'll get more on him next week. And there's a half-brother named Amnon. Now, remember, David has quite a few wives at this point. And I've said many times, the multiple wife model does not work. I don't care what you heard on the internet or TV And when folks say, "Oh, when you read your Bible, they had multiple wives back then," that's true, but keep on reading it. Those multiple wives brought in multiple mother-in-laws and multiple heartaches. It was always a disaster. It wasn't a good idea then. It's not a good idea now. And then Amnon, it says, became so obsessed with Tamar that he became ill. Oh, you got to watch out for that. You know, sometimes we hear that on the news about situations where an individual becomes so obsessed and messes with them. You may recall back in the late 70s, I believe, there was a movie called Taxi Driver, starring Jodie Foster. And this individual was watching this movie and got possessed with her. And that particular movie, you may call it, deals with assassination of a political leader. So fast forward a few years later, this individual was so mentally ill that when President Reagan came walking out of a hotel, he shot at the president. The bullet 1 inch away from Reagan's heart. For a while there, the doctor saw that President Reagan was going to be like Presidents Kennedy and Lincoln and Garfield and McKinley. This another president who was shot down. Because this individual had in his mind that Jodie Foster was in love with him. Here, this guy thinks that his half-sister, he's obsessed by her, the princess. And so he has a buddy. He says, a crafty friend, his cousin, Jodab. Okay, this is his cousin. So one day, Jodab says to Amnon, what's the trouble with you? Why should the son of a king look so dejected morning after morning? And you can almost hear Amnon sighs. He goes, I'm in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. Now, here is where wise counsel says, buddy, you're going to work on that. She's your half-sister. That's not going to happen. And you need to let go of her and move on with your life, because this is not going to end well. And instead, he gives them some wicked advice. Listen to this. And I'll tell you what to do. Go back to bed, pretend you are ill. When your father comes to see you, ask him to let Tamar come, prepare some food for you. Tell him you'll feel better if she prepares it, that she washes and feeds you with her own hands. So, Amnon does that, pretends to be sick. So, King David comes by. Amnon, what's the matter with you? Oh, Dad, I'm sick. You know, you think you can let my sister Tamar come by and cook me some of my favorite food, and I can watch her cook it and eat it? And King David said, well, for sure, that gets you feeling better. I'll ask her, okay? And so, with Tamar riding to Amon's house, she went to the place where he was lying down so he could watch her mix some dough. She baked his favorite dish for him. But when she set the serving tray before him, he refused to eat. Everyone get out of here, Amnon told his servants. So they left. Then he said to Tamar, now bring the food into my bedroom and feed it to me here. So Tamar took his favorite dish to him. Now see, Amnon knew what he was doing was wrong. But what did he do? He told his servants, I need you guys to leave. And then he goes from an alcove to what we call the living room kitchen area to the bedroom. Okay. Now in verse 12, she pleads with him, oh, my brother, don't be foolish. Don't do this thing to me. Such wicked things aren't done in all of Israel. Please, just speak to the king about it. Now, so Tamar is pleading and giving him some wise counsel. Brother, don't do this. This is a bad idea. You should talk to the king about it. But Amnon would not listen to her, and he was stronger than her. And then afterwards, it says, and suddenly Amnon's love turned to hate, and he hated her even more than he loved her. Get out here, he snarled at her. No, Tamar cried. Send me away now. It's worse than what you've already done to me. But Amnon wouldn't listen to her. He shouted for his servant and demanded, throw this woman out, and locked the door behind her. Now think about that. a few verses ago, he was in love with this girl, supposedly. And now he's tossing her out of the room, locking the door. And look what he said. Toss this woman out. Throw this woman out. Not my sister. Not Tamar. Throw this woman out. I remember once back when I was in high school and a certain president gave a little speech and waved that finger about, made a reference to that woman. Remember that? Couldn't even think of her name. He was so upset. Amnon was now treating her like that woman. Out. Close that door. And so the servant spit her out, locked the door behind her. She was wearing a long, beautiful robe, as was the custom in those days. But now Tamar tore her robe, put ashes on her head, and then with her face in her hand, she went away crying. Her brother Absalom saw her and asked, "Is it true that Amnon has been with you?" "Well, my sister, keep quiet for now, since he's your brother. Don't worry about it." So Tamar lived as a desolate woman in her brother Absalom's house. When King David heard what had happened, he was very angry. And though Absalom never spoke to Amnon about this, he hated Amnon deeply because of what he had done to his sister. And so there's Tamar. She's weeping. She's crying, as you imagine. Her brother Absalom's trying to cover her and takes her in his house. And then we see King David. Here's what happens. And he becomes very angry. And that's it. Now, hold on, David. Now, last Sunday, we talked about how when there was a story about a man who stole a lamb, you were so upset, you really killed that guy. What about this situation? And while David is angry about it, he does not take action. Well, what happens next? 2 years later, when Absalom's sheep were being sheared at Beth Azar near Ephraim, Absalom invited all the king's sons to come to the feast. He went to the king and said, "My sheep shearers now at work. Will the king and his servants please come and celebrate the occasion with me?" The king replied, "No, my son, if we all came, we'd be too much of our knowing you." Absalom pressed him, but the king would not come, though he gave his Absalom his blessing. "Well then," Absalom said, "if you can't come, how about seeing my brother Amnon with us?" "Why Amnon?" the king asked. But Absalom kept on pressing until the king, till he finally agreed to his sons attend, including Amnon. So Absalom prepared a feast fit for a king. Absalom told his men, "Wait until Amnon gets drunk. Then at my signal, kill him. Don't be afraid. I'm the one who's given the command. Take courage and do it." So at Absalom's signal, they murdered Amnon. Then the other sons of the king jumped on the mules and fled. And as they were on the way back to Jerusalem, the report reached David. "Absalom has killed all the king's sons. Not one is left." The king got up, tore his robe, and threw himself on the ground. His advisors also tore their clothes in horror and sorrow. But just then, Jonadab, remember him? The son of David's brother Shimei arrived and said, "No, don't believe all of the king's sons have been killed. It was only Amnon. Absalom had been plotting this ever since Amnon took advantage of his sister Tamar." "No, my lord, the king, your sons are all dead. It was only Amnon." Meanwhile, Absalom escaped. And then it ends, this chapter says, verse 37, "And David mourned many days for his son Amnon. And Absalom fled to his grandfather Talmiah, son of Amnahud, King Geshur. And he stayed there in Geshur for 3 years. And King David now reconciled to Amnon's death, longed to be reunited with his son, Absalom." All right. So we start off with the situation with Amnon and his half-sister Tamar. Word gets to David. He gets very angry, but does nothing. Then 2 years go by, and Absalom goes to his dad and says, "Hey, Dad, I want to have a celebration. We're doing the harvest of the sheep. I want you and all my brothers to come down and join me." "Nah, son, we can't do that. It'd be too much on you." "Well, Dad, if you can't come, bring my brothers." "No, bring Amnon down." And I kind of feel like Absalom spoke a little too much, because King David goes, "Amnon, why Amnon?" You know, kind of like David's ears are pricked. "Oh, I just put them down, all my brothers, you know." And David should have been much wiser in what was going on with this. When Absalom went from "all my brothers" to "Amnon," that should have told him something. So David said, "Fine." Amnon goes down. What do? They get him drunk. And then when Absalom gets a signal, they kill Amnon. Well, all the other brothers get scared. They jump on their mules and they hightailed out of town. And you know how rumors are. So the rumor was that Absalom had killed all the king's sons. And so when King David hears that, he's on the ground, weeping and crying. And then Jonadab shows up and says, "Oh, king, it's okay. This is David's nephew. It wasn't all your sons. It was just Amnon. It's just him." And I think, "Jonadab, what's wrong with you, man? Just 2 years ago, you were giving Amnon all this bad advice by his sister. And now that he's dead, you're just like, 'Oh, king, don't worry about it. It's just Amnon.' You know, you got to watch out for folks that are bad advice." And what happens? Absalom flees to go to his grandfather's house. He was a king. And David mourns for his son Amnon. And then he wishes to be reconciled with his son Absalom. Now, earlier, we read from the book of Psalms, Psalms 1. And I really want to hammer in on a certain verse that ties in this lesson. "Blessed are those who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers." You see, Amnon took some very wicked advice from his cousin. And it's off a chain reaction of events. And at the end of the day, David had a son that was killed, a son that was in exile, a daughter had been mistreated. But David knew that part of the problem was he kind of set this up, didn't he? Why gave Amnon and his crazy cousin the idea of bringing a girl up to the house, to the bedroom? Who did that first in our story? That was a few Sundays ago, wasn't it? When King David saw Bathsheba and had her come to the palace. And David should have dealt very severely with Amnon, but he didn't. He let it go unpunished. So doing so, Absalom says to himself, "Well, if a dear old dad won't take care of this, I'll take care of it. I'll take matters in my own hands." And so he gets his brother, half-brother, down to the festival, gets him drunk, and then gives orders for his men to kill him. Where did Absalom get the idea that if somebody is in your way, the answer is to get other folks to kill them? You don't kill them. You get other folks to do it for you. Remember David and Uriah the Hittite? At one point, David tried to get Uriah drunk to pass the kid off of him. And when that didn't work, he sent a message to his general, Joab. Let Uriah and hit the battle and then pull back. And this way he'd be killed. I don't want to do it personally, but let him get killed in battle. What has happened is that these sons of David are taking his sins that he committed and they're taking to a whole new level. Everything David has done, they're taking to another level of depravity. And the sad part is, look how many times David got used. Amnon played his dad like a fiddle. Oh, Dad, I'm not feeling good, but... Oh, Dad, if you can send my sister down tomorrow, she can cook for me. I get feeling better. Well, sure, son. The fact that he used his dad to commit this crime should be enough for King David to chase him out of the country. And then what about Absalom? Dad, have my brothers come down to the festival so we can celebrate, have a good time. Especially Amnon. And David's ear gets pricked and says, Amnon, why Amnon? Oh, Dad, it's all my brothers, you know. And once again, David gets played like a fiddle. And now he's got a dead son. Now, what about us? What about us? Well, first of all, we need to be careful about who we take advice from. If somebody is giving you advice that does not line up with this book, it's bad advice. Don't listen to them. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on God's law they meditate day and night. When somebody says, I got an idea, got a little scheme, got a little plan, if it looks like it's a little shady, you better run. It's a bad idea. Secondly, for all of you parents and grandparents, great-grandparents, and aunts and uncles, you got to be careful how you live. Because it could be that the sins in your life, your kids or grandkids will pick up and they'll take it to a whole new level. It may be something simple as, you know, I used to drink around my kids and now he's out here drinking the whole keg. What happened? Well, because he saw you doing it and then he took it to a whole new level and got himself into a mess. David's kids took one instant out of his life and took it to a new level. And then for my young friends out there, I know from being around the high school crowd and folks, sometimes you get irritated at your parents and grandparents, and they tell you something like, don't do this, don't do that. And I've heard this so many times in Central. I don't know why my mom told me that. When she was in high school, she did fill in the blank. Well, I don't know why my dad told me that. Well, when he was in high school, he did fill in the blank. Well, here's the deal. Not doing that because they're being hypocritical. They're doing that because they love you. They don't want you to repeat the same mistakes they made. Now, when they say, don't be smoking cigarettes, and they think, well, they're hypocritical, they're smoking cigarettes. Yeah, because it's addictive, and they don't want you to get involved with that. Don't run around with him. Don't run around with her. Well, that's the whole point, honey. They've been there, they've done that, and they have the scars from it. Don't do that. And when it comes to mistakes, there's two ways we can learn from mistakes. We can either learn mistakes that we make, or we can learn from the mistakes from others. Guess which one is the easiest route to go? Learn from other people's mistakes. And so when your parents, grandparents, and uncles tell you, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, be careful. Don't get high, mighty with them, like, I don't know why they're telling me, look what they... That's the whole point. They did it. They've been there and they've done that. And it was a disaster. And they saw how it messed up their lives and they're trying to protect you so you won't mess up your lives. The question is, will you be humble enough to receive that? So this morning, you know, I've been very circumspect for that lesson. But we need to be mindful. One, the advice that we give, the advice we listen to. Is it godly advice or is it ungodly advice? We need to be discerning. As adults, we need to be careful about how we live our lives because other people are watching us, our kids, nieces and nephews, and grandkids. And whatever we do, they'll take one step further. And then for those of us who have or still have our parents and grandparents and they're giving us advice and counsel, But we look at them like, well, they didn't live up to it all their lives. That's the whole point. They're trying to warn you not to make their mistakes. Don't learn from their mistakes. Be humble. Don't act like you know it all. And say, thank you. I appreciate you looking out for me. They may teach them 500 times. Like, I don't know why they say that for. Honey, because they're trying to save you from a lot of heartache. That's why. They've been there and done that. And the question is for us. Are we humble? No. David woke up one morning, had a dead son, a hurt daughter, a son in exile. And he had to face the fact that he was to blame because of the life he lived and the fact that he went and let the sins go unpunished. Now, may God grant us the wisdom to make sure that we're living lives of purity, walking along his laws and ways and his paths, that we don't make that terrible mistake. Amen. All right.